Welcome to Create the Movement podcast. Create the Movement is an online marketing team focused on collaborating with law firms and businesses nationwide. Visit us at createthemovement.com to discover how we can help you create a movement. Thanks for listening to our podcast today. In this podcast, you're going to hear from our CEO and President Brad Post, who is speaking to a group of college students. My name is Brad Post. I'm the president and CEO of Create the Movement. And my story starts out, I ended up getting my degree, but I turned a four-year degree into 14 years, so it took me a little bit longer than most people. I got a degree or a bachelor in ministry, so my background is ministry. But I started at a young age, probably. I got married at 21, had kids at 22, so I had to quickly start working to supply for my family. So I got into the corporate world. I worked at a place called Citi, if anyone can recognize the umbrella. And my goal was to be the youngest CEO of a Fortune 500 company. So I was very driven. I wanted to move up. I started at the bottom. In Tulsa, worked in an office in Tulsa, moved to Broken Arrow, then I moved to Tampa and then to Atlanta. And when I was in Atlanta, actually when I was in Tampa, you know, just kind of my testimony, I grew up in church, I had values of church, I could quote scripture, but I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. So when I started down in Tampa, I started going to church and I played the guitar. So I got into the praise team, saved, moved up to Atlanta, was working in the corporate world. My pastor started mentoring me in leadership, and I took a 75% pay cut and a giant step of faith and went from the corporate world into full-time ministry. And we were at a fast-growing church, grew from probably 50 members to 1,000 members over about a year, year and a half. And I started out as an assimilation pastor, connections pastor, just trying to set up systems and structures for people to connect to the church, small groups, church 101, 201, 301, the membership classes, that type of stuff. And I also, about a year after that, I felt led to go into student ministry. So I went into student ministry and grew the student ministry. We were going to a lot of church conferences, fastest growing church conferences, and I felt led to start a church. But my heart was in Tulsa, born and raised here. Our vacations, we didn't go to the beach or to the mountains. We came back to Tulsa to visit family. So my heart was here. So we moved back here moved back, no job, no place to live, just on a step of faith. Ended up, you know, we had a place to live. I lived with my father-in-law and mother-in-law. So we stayed there, and I knew that I was going to have to be bivocational as I planted a church and also needed to work to supply for my family. So I got a job at another company, marketing company here in Tulsa, and started working sales for them. And I was selling them websites and search engine optimization and social media packages. So I had to learn really quickly. So I was working there selling products that I didn't know what they were. So I had to learn planting a church. I've got three kids, you know, active in the community. So I was burning the candle at both ends. We were doing quite a bit. So I shared a little bit last week. We started our church, had a friend of mine help me build a website. So I wanted to learn how to show up in the search engines. And so I started blog posting, started researching and seeing how we could show up well in the search engines. We did. We planted the church. Worked it for about a year and a half, and then just felt, my wife and I just felt like God wasn't calling us to create a movement within a church. I felt Him saying it was going to be more in business. So stepped out of the company that I was working at, helped grow it from 3 employees up to 18 employees in about a year and a half, and we just had some substantial growth. There was just kind of a difference in vision on where the company was going and leadership. So I went and started my own company, and that's where Create the Movement came in. So Create the Movement, we started in a barn, in which, you know, if you look at it, Apple started in a garage. The Wright brothers started in a garage or a barn. You know, the Ramones started in a garage. I don't know if you've seen that commercial, but anyway, we started in a barn and then moved downtown to an office, and it was a 10 by 10 room, no outside windows. There were three desks in there. We were, you know, really crowded, but it was an office, and it was in downtown, and, you know, we started kind of growing our business. And then we moved about, 7 months ago to an office across the hall that actually had, you know, their own private offices and a bigger office with outside windows so we could see if it was raining or whatnot outside. And just really kind of had some explosive growth. We're now at 14 employees, and now we're kind of in the part of creating a culture for our business. We're a small business, so, you know, we don't have insurance, we don't have 401k, so we've got to create a positive culture. So we've kind of developed that culture. But that's kind of my story, but I want to kind of get into some basics and some in-depth stuff on search engine optimization. So do you guys all know what search engine optimization is, or do you want me to give you a brief explanation? Basically what it is, and I joke around, but I didn't know how to spell SEO when I started, you know, so I had to learn really quickly. So search engine optimization is basically when you build a website, Google, which 80% of the world uses Google, so you're not going to hear me referring to Bing or Yahoo or anything like that. We always talk about Google because the majority of the people are there. So search engine optimization is basically building your website. There's internal and then there's external search engine optimization. Internal is when you build the website, you know, you have your home page, your about page, all the different types of pages. So you're looking at content on each one of those pages. And when I say content, it's usually written content that Google can come in and index and see. But you also want to make sure that you're using Google Keyword Planner, and I'll get into that a little bit more in my presentation. What Google Keyword Planner is it's basically letting you know what people are searching for and how many searches those people are searching for, so that you can write your content based on what people are searching for. And when you're building a site, there's some basics on each page that you want to make sure of, and that you have title tags, meta descriptions, H1, H2 tags are kind of the same. Title tags, I was going over with Matthew here, is basically, it's kind of at the top of your website. You'll see, let me switch here real quick. You'll usually see it at the top here, what a title tag is. Google best practices basically says that they recommend that that is no longer than 70 characters. So you can have, and you can have up to two or three keywords as long as they're within those 70 characters. Tulsa photography / photographers in Tulsa, that type of stuff. And then in the meta description, you don't necessarily see the meta description on the website, but when you do a Google search, normally the thing that comes up is right down here is your meta description. And so you want to make sure that your meta description and your title tag have the same keyword in it. Does that make sense? And then you also want to make sure that you have, you know, either H1 or H2 tags that have that same keyword. So Tulsa photographers would be a title tag. In your meta description, you'd want to write a brief sentence. It's usually 165 characters in the meta description, but you'd want to make sure that it includes the exact keyword. Anytime you put images on your website, you want to make sure that they have alt text. So there's a little alt text, and it doesn't have to be the exact keyword, but you want to make sure that it has something in there relevant to the photo. And then as far as search engine optimization, there's link building. There's internal and external link building. Internal is pretty self-explanatory, meaning on a page you have content, and then you have a keyword or a word that you can click to that goes to another page within your site. Or if you have a blog post, it's a three-part blog post. There's three different blogs. You want to link back to blog, you know, number two or number one and your blog number three. So you want to make sure that you have internal links, but you don't want to overdo internal links. You want to probably have 2-3 internal links. And I'm kind of giving you updated search engine optimization because there's Dominic kind of talked a little bit about like black hat SEO last week, and just about some of the things that people were doing. Some people were doing internal links, like overdoing it. And so Google best practices, they're like, you don't need to have this many internal links. External links, we talked a little bit about, are when you are going to like a yellowpages.com and submitting your business information, and then you put your link to your website, or if somehow you get Tulsa World to write an article on what you're doing and you get a link on the Tulsa World website, social media, different directories, different blogs. You know, if you want to write, we were talking, you know, if you want to go to a photography, and I'm picking on photography, but if you want to go to another photographer's blog, or they have a, you know, they're highlighting different photographers, and write a brief blog about, you know, a wedding that you shot. You know, put a picture on there, put a link back to your website, they approve it. You get an external link. So Google basically looks at it's all about relevance. They're trying to find what's the most relevant search. If you were to go and search for Mexican restaurant in Tulsa and Tulsa photographers came up, you would probably get frustrated with Google and go use Bing or DuckDuckGo or some other search engine. So their whole thing is just relevance. And they look at external links as relevance. If you have 396 external links compared to another site that has zero, then they're going to say, hey, they're more relevant because they have more links. Now, when we talk about links, this is important because there was a update, a Google algorithm update that hurt a lot of websites. Dominic shared a little bit about this. It was all black hat. Well, it wasn't necessarily black hat. It worked at the time. But now Google is basically giving domain authorities to each site. So if you outsourced work to India and they went and built a bunch of different directory sites with all it was a link farm is what they called it, then Google would look at that and go, this is not a good site. Domain authority is low. It would penalize your website. So you want to make sure that the links that you're linking your website to have good domain authority. Does that make sense? So we're going to go through some Google tools that they really like. Google's goal is somewhat to put SEO companies out of business, but Google's so complicated, they have so many different things that you can use that, you know, we've gone through, years and years of training and watching videos, right, Matt, as far as, like, learning, you know, the different tools that they use, and sometimes people are just like, you do it for us, we don't want to learn. So Google Analytics, and I'll go over that here in a minute. There's also Google My Business or Google Maps. There's Google Webmaster Tools, Google Keyword Planner. And then this link, and I think I got everyone's email, is a link to a search engine optimization starter guide. It's about a 50-page document. It's somewhat technical, but it'll kind of give you an idea of what Google's looking at. It kind of goes over a lot of this. So Google Analytics, it basically shows people coming to your website, how many people came to your website, how many of those were, you know, users, new users, how many pages they visited while they were on your website. I mean, it shows so much information. Google Analytics has got a ton of different information. It shows what a bounce rate is, meaning when people come to your website and they jump off, it's a bounce rate, which isn't good. You want to have that percentage lower. You know, low is probably lower than 40% is good, just because Google will look at the average duration on your site, how many pages they visited on your site, just to see if their search that they gave what you were looking for, if you went to multiple pages, if that's what you were looking for, you know, if you were, again, searching for a Mexican restaurant and you pulled up a, you know, photography site, you jump off of it because that's not what you're looking for. And Google Analytics, it's basically free. You just have to have a Gmail account, and you can set up, they give you a, what they call a UA code, and you set that up on your website, on the back end of your website, and then Google will start tracking basically everything that's done. It'll also show, that's not a good screenshot, let me jump in here real quick to... So you can look at where your traffic is coming from. Oh no, let's see here. There we go. So you got four different ones: referral, direct, social, and organic. Organic is people just searching relevant terms, and then yours shows up in the search engine, and that's how they found you. Social is just social media. You know, if people found you through Facebook or Twitter or whatnot. Direct is if they literally just typed in the URL itself, .com, and then went to referral. I'm going to go into this real quick. This kind of helps to look at where people are coming from. So this site, we've got some rank checker online with a high bounce rate, so 222 visits. That's not good, so we'll want to add a filter to filter that out, but I won't get too in detail on filters, but it'll kind of show you like where all of the different referrals are coming from, where the different links, where they're finding you, and what sites you're linked to be able to find that. And I'm going through this pretty fast, but I'll open it up for questions at the end. And then it also shows, this is kind of neat, because it will show the flow of where people are coming to, and then what pages they visit, and how many pages they visit. And this is kind of what we talked about a little bit with the email marketing, as far as you can see where they're going, yeah, what pages they're looking at, what they're interested in.
This is good because we were using Google AdWords, but we couldn't really read the analytics on it. Like, we were just confused, so we paused it.
Okay.
So I have Google AdWords, but I was like, I don't even know what I'm looking at.
Yeah, and you want to make sure your AdWords and analytics are tied together.
Yeah, Google AdWords without Google Analytics.
Yes.
So it's kind of like, what am I looking
at? Right. Yeah, because you want to...
This could...
You'll want to track, and they even have where you can tie in the AdWords to Google Analytics as far as... seeing what people are looking at, seeing what pages they're going to, seeing where you're getting the
books. Looks like a more detailed.
Yes, absolutely. You can see, if somebody comes to a specific page and then they drop off, you know, they don't go any further, then you might want to look at that internal page on your website and see why. Yeah, maybe there's a broken image on the site, or maybe there's it's not written well, or maybe there's, you know, you need to add more internal links or something like that. So it really helps to determine what, when people come to your website.
What's working.
Yes, absolutely. And then Google My Business is very important, because in a search, and we were working on this morning, I'm just kind of having fun. If you were to just pull up Online Marketing Tulsa, these first four are paid ads. You can see the little ad here. So these people are doing Google AdWords. They're paying for that, so if I go and click on one, I won't, but it'll charge them no matter how long I stay on the site. And then the next three are Google Maps. And so, and then there's the organic search. So you can see that you literally have to scroll down to even get to the organic search. So Maps is updated and changed to where they only show three on here. And, you know, these three, Tulsa Marketing Online, that's kind of tough to beat because it's literally the keyword. Tulsa Internet Marketing, and then there's also Cubit Creative. The way that they look at ranking these are in a few ways. Let me see if I pulled it up. So I did a few updates about a week ago, and we were on the second page of this, and it kind of all depends on where you're at as to where you show up, because I think it's tracking your IP address. Because this morning, Create the Movement, we were, right there. So it looks at your IP address and sees where you're at, sees where the closest online marketing companies are, and then kind of ranks those. But they also look at, you know, number of reviews. Have you finished your Google Maps profile? Like, for instance, ours. We added a bunch of photos, made sure that our Google Maps listing was completely filled out, all the information. We added photos, all that type of stuff. So how that works is you want to have, if you have a physical address for your business, you submit in to Google and they'll send you a postcard. When you get that postcard, and it's really tricky, it's hard to work sometimes with businesses, you got to let them know because it's just a small postcard, and as Google, it looks like it's a solicitation. So a lot of the times, people will throw it away. But if you get that, it'll come with a code on the back. And once you get that code, you go in to your Google Maps listing, verify it, and then it'll publish your Maps listing. Mm-hmm. So why I went into that is just because of you could tell, you know, that there's three searches. You want to get in Google Maps if you have a business location. So, and it's pretty easy to set it up. You can add different categories. You get a link to your website, your phone number, your address. You can put hours.
So this is found in Google My Business.
Google My Business. Yep. Yes. And what we normally do with our clients is we'll set up like a generic email for their Gmail for their business, so that they have username and password, and so that they're an owner on their own business. So if there's turnover or anything like that, whoever's the head will hopefully have that information to their Google Maps.
We actually did that.
Okay, awesome.
We have a generic Gmail
that you keep all your usernames, password type stuff too.
Yeah, we have a whole Google Drive that we keep a lot of information.
Perfect, yes.
That we just share within
the network.
Yeah, I shared it with my personal Gmail, and I shared it with my assistant. So we have Google Documents that we're both able to edit, and we're able to see who edited it.
Yes, Google Docs are awesome. Yeah, it took me a little while to get around, but yeah, it's...
The person before me had started it, so I can't take the credit for it, but I've definitely... appreciating it.
Yes.
It's very helpful. Yeah.
There's also Google Sheets, Google Forms, Google PowerPoint, and it's all free. They're putting Microsoft out of business. No, they're not. Microsoft will be around for a long time. Okay, Google Webmaster Tools. This is really important. So you want to make sure that your website's set up under Google Webmaster Tools. Because there's basically different things that you can do within Google Webmaster Tools to show if there's errors on your site, if there's URL errors, meaning that they go to your URL / certain page and it says page not found. There's ways that you can submit your website to index to Google, just saying, hey, Google, we have Webmaster Tools set up. I published this blog. can you please go in and index it? You know, and hope, and they would go in and index it, and they could index any of the links, internal links, along with it. So what we were actually working some podcasts and for a Florida criminal defense firm. And so recorded an audio podcast, transcribed the content. It was probably about 1,200 words, and picked out a specific keyword as to what they were trying to rank for. Submitted it into Google after we published it, and within 5 minutes it was ranking on the first page.
Wow.
Just because of the way that we did everything, and that Google was actually on top of indexing the website. So Google Webmaster Tools, you want to make sure that you have that set up on your website. And it's kind of a tedious process to do it, but if you have Google Analytics set up, then they can verify it through the Google Analytics code, or they can verify it through your domain. So like if it's a GoDaddy domain or whatnot, you can type in your username and password, and Google Webmaster Tools will verify it through that. And then we talked about Keyword Planner. And this is another free tool that you can use. I think you have to log in, so you do have to have a Gmail account. But you can basically, there's so many different things that you can go into. I think I just put like website design Tulsa, and it'll give you ad group ideas or keyword ideas, and it'll show you like design Tulsa, well, let's say company web. There's 30 average searches a month, and the competition is medium. So it'll actually show you kind of what your competition is. Web design, Tulsa, there's 390 searches, and the competition is low. It'll also show you what their suggested bid is, like when you're doing Google AdWords, like how much you would want to bid on that per, yeah, it'll kind of give you an idea as if you're doing, you know, $1,000 a month on Google AdWords and you're targeting web design, you'd probably, you know, could potentially get, I don't know, what's an app on that, $10, that would be maybe 100 visits, depending on if they click on that and you show up. So Keyword Planner is another thing to do. That's what I was talking to Matthew about, is Tulsa Photography is going to be pretty difficult to rank for as a new website, but Modern Photography Tulsa might not. But there might only be 10 searches a month on that. But, you know, it kind of, it would help. The competition more than likely would be low. So you can rank for different ones. So, and the way that they look at it, we were looking at a few websites prior to, is they look at how many external links, you know, what the content, and then also they look at your domain, like how long has your domain been a website, because, you know, they look at just how long have you been on the web. If it's just brand new, yeah, then they don't rank you very high. So, but if you've been around for 10 years, but there's tools and tricks as long as you follow that. I hope that didn't discourage you.
No.
Yeah. And there's tools and tricks that you can do.
My website is just like 1 month old. So.
Yeah. And that kind of goes through the different Google tools. But I did want to go into a little bit on retargeting today, because that's one thing that Dominic didn't really talk about last week, is retargeting. Let me ask you guys this question. If you have you ever gone to, say, Amazon or looked for something to purchase, didn't purchase it, let's say shoes, or I'll use sunglasses. I went, my wife said I could get Ray-Ban sunglasses because I had sunglasses for a year and I didn't break them. I went and looked, and I was looking for specific, there were Don Draper out of Mad Men. He had certain Ray-Bans. I was trying to find those. I didn't find them, but I went back onto my Facebook feed, and over to the right, there was a Ray-Ban. Or I went to another website, and there were Ray-Bans again. Basically, what it did was it was targeting my IP address, because I looked at that website, and then they'll... Have you guys ever done that?
All the time.
You have?
All
like shoes or anything? So you see it, and have you ever wondered what that is and how they know what you're doing? Or
it's
retargeting. What's scary to me is that I'll do a search on my computer, and then I'll pull up my phone, and it'll be on my phone too. And I'm like, you know, recently we bought a car, a specific kind of car, and like, you know, I was doing all the search on my computer, and then I pulled up my Facebook feed. And I'm like, how do they know I'm looking for a car? So there's a lot of different things in marketing that can be done. And the neat thing about retargeting, the company that we recommend is AdRoll. They let you do Facebook retargeting. There's a bunch of different websites that they'll use. They'll set it all up for you. They'll give you different image and size ads, you know, whether they're a side banner or a small or a top banner, or you'll put in different image sizes. And then when you set that up, you'll want to have it click to a landing page within your website. And it's not as expensive as Google AdWords. Google will spend your money. Facebook will spend your money. AdRoll, they really only spend your money unless people click. It's based off the ad and based off if they're coming to that. Sometimes it's not that expensive. So we ran a campaign recently, and I think we had a budget of $100 a week. And within 3 weeks in April, we had 16,000 impressions, 36 clicks. So you get a ton of impressions. So a lot of people will do that just with brand awareness. So if you want to get your brand out there, you can do that. And it's not that expensive to do. And you'll get a ton of impressions and a ton, you know, you'll get clicks. But when they click, you'll pay. But it's really not as expensive as Google AdWords is.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Create the Movement podcast. Visit us at createthemovement.com to discover how we can help you create a movement.